When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We're making a little rice.
Oh, are we having rice?
Yeah, we're having a rice. Well, we're making dukkana rice, curry chicken. Randall's making a beetroot chokka, which is like a kind of spiced beetroot kind of curried situation.
So if we're getting deli rice, then it must be somebody special. Who's coming today?
Today's guest.
I don't know. Today's... Why don't you tell me?
Yeah. me and you, T, are excited because today's guest is David motherfucking Seaman.
I think David Seaman was probably one of the first footballers I really remember hearing his name, because he had such an image as well. You know, he had a ponytail. He was brilliant at what he did. He was this amazing hero of a goalkeeper. So he really represents, like, when I first started noticing football as a child and when I started really loving football. So I'm very excited. My dad, Garfield, is a QPR fan. David, of course, played for QPR as well. And Garfield is devastated that he's not here. But my mum's going to have to love David Seaman for Garfield as well.
Sure.
Well, for someone who says that they don't know anything about football, she's come in Arsenal colours today. Can you?
I didn't know that they were Arsenal colours. It's just my nice, like, fly look. Yeah?
Sure you did.
Who's David Seaman bringing today as well?
Yeah. He's been his wife, Frankie.
It's a lovely love story. They met on Dancing on Ice. And I just think they really found the soulmates in their lives when they found each other. And it feels like they've got a really beautiful bond and union. He seems like a really lovely husband. She said he's a total rock, a great supporter of everything she does, and he gives great hugs. I think I love him.
Welcome.
Welcome to our home, David and Frankie.
Thank you so much for coming all the way. We really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having us. It's such a beautiful space, and rain. Smells coming from this kitchen are just driving me wild.
You're driving me. Oh, I love that we're driving Frankie crazy, guys.
She's only been here like 15 minutes.
And actually, Makita, I have to compliment you on your, is it spiced chai?
Cardamom, green and black, cinnamon, honey, ginger,
and then oat
milk as well to kind of cream it out. It's just the most comforting thing.
I could just sit and smell it all day. I'd actually like a candle made of this. It smells amazing.
It smells amazing, doesn't it?
So shall I tell you what we've got to eat?
Oh yes, please.
We've got some deli rice. This is Randall, and this is, it's specifically called deli rice because it's got tons of butter and thyme in it, basically. It's really fluffy.
Wow.
It's delicious. And we've got some chili pickled shallots. Then we've got a chicken curry, like proper curry chicken, old school Caribbean style. And then these are dukkana.
That sounds northern.
That's really funny. Dukkana. I've never thought of that before.
That sounds like something you say to your mum, right? Dukkana.
Dukkana. Because it's an old heritage, like Antiguan steamed fresh coconut sweet potato dumpling.
That doesn't sound normal.
And immediately we've left the north. Oh, and then we've got a beetroot chokka, which is like a kind of pickled, spiced beetroot that me and Randell have been arguing over because I wanted to put sultanas in it and he wouldn't let me. It's really delicious. And he's put a little tadka on the top, which is like a little fried spice.
Lovely.
Sauteed the spices just to bring the flavours right up.
Yeah. David, here's some rice.
Go on it.
Thank you.
Are you responsible for all the butter in this rice?
Yes.
I might leave David and marry you. Butter is literally my go-to food.
married a good woman, David, didn't you?
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Well done. Congratulations on the excellent wife.
I remind him of that every day.
But it must have been an extraordinary experience, because I love the idea of taking on a new unexpected challenge, i.e. learning to bloody skate on ice.
Yes.
And then something beautiful extra coming from that bravery and that courage.
No, it was, you know.
So that's how you met. Tell us how you met.
So we met through Dancing on Ice. Right. You know, that was the first time we met. Frankie was actually dancing or skating with Lee Sharp.
Oh, you weren't partnered?
No, we weren't partnered.
We weren't even in the same series.
No, I did the very first series of Dancing on Ice.
All right.
Oh, my God.
quite expert.
Actually.
Yeah.
Right, so that's extra brave. So no celebrities had done this before. So you were like the first round.
Yeah. And Frankie, then the next year, weren't it?
Yeah, I did series two.
You did it, and then skated with Lee Sharp. So I went on a VT and I said hello and everything and that, and then left that, and then went on tour, and Frankie was on the tour with Chris Fountain.
Oh,
so
right.
We'd said hello then.
So
and
this
then,
was a year, another year later.
And then
like
another year
later.
Down the line.
So this all happened was, on tour, did it?
Yeah, like, well, the second tour, because I was a guest judge on one of the shows at Wembley. And then, you know, I met Frankie again.
Right, across the ice.
And that was it. So, like, third time lucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you know you liked her then, straight away?
I mean, I look good in a skating outfit. I bet.
I checked the calves when you came in. I saw it all happening.
I bet you do.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was thinking, after being, you know, the top of your sport, you know, absolutely at the very, very top of what you do, to then go and do something that you're not the best at.
No. And I tell you what, it's the most nervous I've ever felt in my life.
I bet.
Waiting in the tunnel of Dancing on Ice, waiting to go out. The first week, so the first show wasn't too bad. Because it was the first series, we didn't know how many people were going to watch it.
Right.
After the first week, we found out it peaked at 14.3 million.
We were like,
oh, shoot.
That's a lot of people.
But I mean, that's the amount of people watching a football game.
Yeah, I know, but that's my football. I do that every day. Mm. The ice skating, I know that I can fall over at any time. And it was that bad. You know, you go out and your mouth's so dry, you start shaking. Oh. And you go out and the first thing you've got to do is present, and you smile and your top lip stays up there. Your mouth is that dry. You're like, uh-oh.
You're like, good start.
Yeah.
What's present? Is that when you sort of do the swirling
thing? You do a little
bit
and then you're like, yeah, but like if you watch the show, when the celebs come out, they come out of the tunnel and they're like so happy to get out, but then you have to stop in the middle and you watch some of the celebs trying to stop.
Actually YouTubed you because I thought, I wonder what he's like, and you look quite slick.
Mum thinks you were brilliant.
I was like, he's actually quite good.
But I could skate before I did the show. So I did, I used to skate, actually, which is weird, at the same place where Frankie learnt to skate, in Sheffield.
Oh, wow. But there's 9 years between us, so hadn't, when he finished skating, she would have been 16, I hadn't even started at that point. I'm so much younger.
Oh, yes, of course.
But I was never taught, I just did it, you know, like on school lessons sometimes, we'd go there.
Was it like hockey or just skating?
Yeah, mainly hockey skates.
Got it.
And then I signed for Leeds as a 16-year-old goalkeeper and never skated for 22
right,
years.
Right, so it kind of, you diverted to football, basically.
Then got back into it.
So you've been
it.
Skating right. forever, Frankie, since you were...
10.
10, wow.
10.
And what was it about skating that you loved?
I hated it. There's nothing about skating that I loved. I started skating with school. They had a Wednesday afternoon just for the oldest people in primary school. So the last years, you get to do art or swimming or skating. I mean, I'm terrible at art. David taught me to swim when I was 35, so I was no good at swimming.
Right.
But I was awful, and all the other little kids were like whizzing around, and they were really good. And I know I was terrible, and I was clinging onto the side, terrified, as most people are when they start skating.
I'm a bit scared of the idea.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like ice coldy things. And so, I'm just like, it looks cold. And I'm like,
I hear you.
And then secondly, the blades freak me out. I feel like if I fell, which I would.
But you're a chef, so you deal with blades all the time.
Yeah, but they're in my hand and I'm controlling them. They're on somebody else's feet, come flying by me. It's like a sort of, it's not necessarily
It's so
logical.
Strange because everybody's scared of their fingers.
Are they?
That ain't the main injury. It's,
what's the main
injury? It's wrists and then back of their heads, isn't it?
Right, of course.
And we went, literally, Dangerous. We went 2 weeks ago and I actually fell over. first time for a long time. I fall like a goalkeeper though.
Yeah, it's bad. What's it's bad. It's bad.
Knee go down, elbow goes down to protect, and that's the worst thing. And it went boing, and I was like, oh, and then my head, because I got that flip, whiplash in my neck. And
oh my God, it's skating.
So it happens to
he is a bit of a drama queen. I understand that.
There is that.
Yeah, trust me, it's a long way down. And you give me, give
you're
me skates.
Really tall.
I know.
Right.
It, yeah.
No, I get
how
it.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'4". Well, I was. I'm on the way down.
You're shrinking. I've shrunk. Yeah. It's really alarming, isn't it? I thought I was 5'5". They measured me down 5'3". I was absolutely furious. Furious.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, David, from a really young age, you were kind of, you used your body and you know, you were connected to the way your body worked for you. I mean, you must have been very athletic. What was the first experience with football for you?
He's good at everything, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know, I was. And I don't want to say that big-headedly or anything, but I loved sport. PE was my favourite lesson at school, even to the extreme where I wasn't very good academically, right? So it used to take a long while for me to do my homework and stuff. So and the teachers cottoned onto this, and they cottoned onto how much I love PE. So they made me do my homework in the PE lessons as a lesson to make sure that I did it.
Right.
That's a bit mean.
That was one of my punishments. I know, that's what I thought.
I do sometimes struggle with academia in this way because I think sometimes you're a physical genius. A lot of your contemporaries are physical geniuses. And I think sometimes alternative talents can be put to one side.
Absolutely.
For the sake of being, you know, good at maths or good at English. And if you're not, oh, you're rubbish at everything.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. And I do sometimes struggle with that. And I know, obviously, you know, educationally wise, I don't have time to spend with each individual child and develop their talents, but why not?
No, I think each individual child should be able to develop their talents, actually. And I think that the idea that having physical excellence comes second to having other academic excellence, that's not fair, because it's like literally putting the onus on half the amount of children. What about the other half?
It's not one size fits all. And I mean, look at you as a chef.
And I actually think that it's not just exercise, but sport is so important for our minds. Today, even now, I play a lot of tennis, and that for me is like cathartic and therapeutic, and I also just I have so much fun with it. But when I was a kid, I was mixed race, we didn't have any money, so I wasn't shown that tennis or any racket sports could be for me.
Right.
With my peers, we got given a football, but very rarely get given a racket. I mean, how many black male or female, well, more female, but there's no
it's
black
not
male
really,
tennis
it's not
players.
Really about race, it's about class.
No, class, absolutely.
It's about whether or not you've got any money.
Accessibility.
I think sport is healing. Absolutely healing as something to do for yourself. But also, I love football because I think it is the most uniting, joyous, celebratory. I wish I could write TV as exciting as a football game. You cannot write that fucking narrative and that drama. It's too good. What was it like to be in the middle of that kind of heady time of beautiful Arsenal glory?
It was brilliant. I've got like so many memories to look back on. I've got 9 winners' medals, you know, and I've got a few runners-ups as well. So we were like really on it. And to be part of it with other great players as well, you know, that everybody knows, you know, like Bergkamp and Henri and Wrighty. you know, just like really special players. You know,
I even have heard of them.
Yes, ma'am.
I know
that's how well they were doing.
High praise indeed.
Oh, no. Yeah. I won't start going on about the defensive unit and all that sort of stuff.
You'll be like, I'll do that with you later in our castle time.
I totally will. Yeah. No, but to be there and shoulder to shoulder, you are one of those great players.
And do you know what's weird though about it is that to me, it just happened. You know, because it's what we did. We got on with it. And it wasn't like one game was so much more special than the other. But they were continuous, you know. And every time, new season, first game you look for, when we got Man United, they were our rivals at the time.
Of course.
Yeah. Right. You know, so that was that. And then when we got Tottenham. So they were two games that you look for. But we knew we had a special team. And then Arsene came in, like halfway through my career, really.
Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
I know that.
He changed everything. He changed the way that we were playing, the way we were training, the way we were looking after ourselves.
What did he do?
And then nutritionally, he changed everything.
Oh. Right.
You know, like pre-match meal for me normally would have been a ham and cheese omelette with beans. That was quite a few other players. Ian Wright, yeah. His was a fillet steak with a fried egg on top.
Whoa. You know, like,
totally the wrong thing.
Beat that chef at the table.
A steak takes a long time to digest.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the wrong thing. It was the thing that made him feel good.
Right.
But then Arsene came in and changed it, and it was like boiled fish, boiled chicken, pasta, boiled veg.
Carbs
and protein. Yeah.
He was making warriors.
Loads of it as well. Because he brought in like a few French players with him. And they were already on the diet. And they were eating mounds, platefuls of food. And we were like, they're never going to be able to run around for 90 minutes on that. And they never stopped.
Like fuel. It was the right stuff.
And it was at least 3 hours before the game.
Right.
So then your body's digesting
it. In the right place in your body.
Very clever. Because at the time, probably quite groundbreaking.
It was massively groundbreaking. Yeah. You know, and he was ahead of everybody. Then people start, you know, wanting to like, oh, what are they doing? You know, like on England duty, we'd be having our food, and like people like Gary Neville would be like, what are they eating? it's a team sport. We should be on the same. And then he took it back to Man United and told them, and they
bastards.
Oh no, exactly.
So that's so interesting that one person can have that kind of impact across a whole sport.
And especially in the Premier League, he did. You know, later on in his career, that you know, people caught him up. You know, and did the same thing and then took it a little bit further.
Yeah, and Frankie, at this time, you said that you're 9 years younger than David. At this time, I mean, we all knew who David Seaman was. I definitely did. Did you?
Well, it's difficult because I left England. I left the UK when I was 18. And that's where my professional career started. So David would have been 27 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you would have been becoming famous. But I've never been a huge football fan. I support Sheffield United. So that probably explains a lot right there. We'll leave that there. I did grow up, you know, watching football.
I'm not laughing too much because I know I'll get into trouble.
Of course not. Keep it here, David. Keep it bubbling under.
The face speaks volumes. However, so I did grow up watching, my friend lived across the street from the ground, so we would sneak out of her sort of attic window and we could see a little bit of the game. So I had watched Sheffield United growing up. Yeah, it was great. Again, we didn't have any money either, so we couldn't afford tickets, but we could afford to sit atop this terrace house and see what was going on. Mm. Never saw you play, as far as I know.
I feel like you couldn't miss Seaman because you had a ponytail, for
exactly.
one.
Exactly, and a tash.
Right?
I was born with a tash.
Ponytail and a tash. But it was such a look, David. Did you know that you were kind of giving yourself a look, or did you think about image?
No. So my dad had long hair.
Yeah, you got a good head of
my
hair.
My dad had got long hair and a beard and a tash, and he was a bit of a rocker. He was a steel worker. My mum was a barmaid. You know,
yeah, and she owned her own shop afterwards.
Until we were 14, we lived in a terrace house with like no bathroom. We didn't have any, you know, our bath was a tin bath and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of money. And then at 14, my mum and dad bought a grocery shop that sold like fresh sandwiches and sweet. Me and my brother thought we'd gone to Disneyland.
I mean,
we were like Willy Wonka, going to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. The sweets were there, and we were like, what?
And it's our parents' shop. Like,
these are ours.
Got it.
It's like proper sweetie shop with the sweets in the jars and stuff.
Everything, but like
cream cakes.
Oh yeah,
old school, like proper old school grocery.
Bacon
strawberry
sandwiches
and vanilla slices and. It was like that when I was 14 as well.
Greatest day of our lives.
But you must have had like some kind of real focus though with the football, because you know, to get to where you got to, you must have had a real.
Well, what happened was, so I've always been a Leeds United fan. And I went to Leeds as a 16-year-old.
Right.
Goalkeeper. I had a choice of going to Yorkshire Cricket or Leeds Football Club because I was a fast bowler as well. So I went to Leeds as a 16-year-old, two-year apprenticeship, signed a two-year pro deal, and then after 1 year as a pro, Leeds turned around and told me I weren't good enough.
Oh my God.
You know, so I was released and yeah, I was devastated.
You must have been heartbroken.
You know, not just the fact that, you know, we spoke about earlier and I wasn't very good at school, so I had nothing.
Right.
And like for 2 weeks, I didn't know what I was going to do. But then I got a call from Peterborough, fourth division, like bottom division, but I went, I didn't even know where Peterborough was.
Which would be like second division now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I went down there, but I went straight into the first team. And ever since that day, I was a number one all the way through my career.
Yeah, just right. up from that moment.
But what I wanted to say is the motivation of proving people wrong is a massive motivation.
Oh, it's a big driver, isn't it?
Yeah. And I coach at Arsenal now. You know, I go in once a week and I get to speak to some of the lads that aren't going to get offered a contract. And I say to them, like, look at my story.
Yeah.
You know, I know you feel it's over now.
Right.
But it ain't.
Because you just never know what's around the corner, do you? So you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah.
And sometimes it's necessity, isn't it, Andy? Like, you know, you've had those moments when you've been low or dark or you think, well, this is it, it's over, what am I going to do now? But actually, you don't really sometimes have time to think about that. You just have to keep moving forwards. Yeah. You have no choice.
One of the things about having her really young,
because I was there,
was I had a baby to feed. I didn't.
You have no choice.
I didn't have time to. I mean, you know, I would feel low, go through whatever I was going through, and then go right. Well, okay. So that was nice.
Where's the next paycheck coming from?
You need to go and make some money because you need to feed the baby, and that was a thing that kept me moving forward. I think, you know, having a baby really young, people sort of kind of go, oh, you know, terrible decision. But actually, I think it kept me alive and kept me holding my shit together.
It gave you a focus as well.
Yes, because I had to. It's like, if I wasn't there for her, who was going to be there? Do you know what I mean?
And also, so I think there's times when you realise that nobody's there for you.
Yeah.
You know, you have to accept that sometimes. I know a lot of people talk about, well, you know, I need help and I need a support system. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has a support system. Not everybody has help that they can lean on. And great if you do, but even still, if you're by yourself, that is another motivator to keep you moving forward. It's like, there's nobody else that's going to help me here.
That's why
I got to help myself.
Community is so important, you know, outside of, you know, what's inside the four walls of your house. Talk to us a bit about the charity that you're working with. Hats on for Mind.
Hats on for Mind,
because you sound like you're making connections and creating those kind of communities.
Well, it's together with Go Outdoors, and I'm involved in that through Fishing Republic, you know, for my love of fishing. And we've done this campaign, and it's the second year now, and the first year did really, really well. You know, we raised a lot of money. I think it was over 200,000+.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and so this year we've decided to do a hat. I designed my hat for a fisherman.
Oh. Basically, they said to David, no.
Do I design a hat for fishing? I was like, yes.
Yes, I can.
They basically presented him with his dream job. Could you please design some fishing equipment? Yeah. That was last year. This year they came back and said, we'd like you to design a different hat so he gets to go at it again.
Oh,
and a flask.
If you know something that kind of brings you peace and you know knows what it can do for your life, because I feel the same about skipping, and I have a business that I'm building called Ropes, which is just really encouraging everyone to skip, to jump up and down, because even if you don't have any money or if you don't think you're very sporty, everyone's skipped in their life.
You don't need space
and
either. You can just literally have a tiny little...
I used to do a lot of skipping in my early years as a goalkeeper.
Oh, no way!
Because it builds your calves up, doesn't it, really well?
Yes!
You know, and that's for the jumping, the little feet movements.
Yeah, I'm really happy you said that, because we've got two skipping ropes and we're going to have a little skip. We're going to have...
We're going to have
a
skip-off.
We're going to have a little skip-off. Just a little skip-off.
A little bit competitive.
But
I really
love the way that you are using something that you know did beautiful things for you and just sharing that with people, because it's like, I need to tell you what this could do for you. What does fishing do for you?
And that's the same with the campaign that we're doing. It's about getting yourself outdoors.
Yes.
When I go fishing, it's like an extra layer on top.
Yes.
I always take my binoculars because I love bird watching.
Me too.
And not to get away from everything, but just to make myself feel a little bit better as well.
There's like a quietness around that. When I was reading about your love for fishing, I was thinking, God, I really like this. It's a real soulful, passionate connection that you have to this activity.
It is, you know, and...
Do you fish with him, Frankie?
No.
Didn't you just hear what he said about peace and quiet, and then you see me come on now, ladies. No. Oh,
goodness.
Are you crazy?
I know so you do training.
Do you go on your own?
Yeah, I go on my own. I go overnight. I camp out. I've actually, so it was my 60th in September, right? So Frankie actually bought me a van. And it's a fishing van.
Oh, fuck.
Good. Honestly, it is. Oh, it was me. So good. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh my God. And now I've got like my bed chair in there. So I sleep in the van. Oh, I've got my fishing gear. There's not all the lakes you can go to that you can do this, but there's one that's really local to us where I could just pull up, drive onto the lake, drive around it, pick my swim. There I go.
Oh,
and the van is absolutely
and
perfect.
How long is that? One night?
So I would do a week if I had time. Honestly.
Do you know how not into camping my mum is? So she's like, so what are we talking, 24 really? Hours?
Oh my God,
like, camping. An afternoon?
I will do, you know, I'm hoping to get out next week because I keep telling people I've done a dry January. They're like, what, really? I haven't been fishing yet.
I've been drinking loads of wine, but I haven't been fishing.
So you guys train together, don't you? You like exercise together.
Couples that skate together stay together.
I bet they do, though. Yeah. Frankie, I bet they do. I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to do something like that with your partner.
It's an interesting dynamic, though, because obviously I'm the expert on the rink, and so obviously, and I'm quite a forceful person in real life, you probably
know. No,
noticed.
You don't say.
Bit of a force of nature, I know.
You hold it down really well.
Bubbling.
That's what I love about it, though. When we go everywhere, we go to all these different dinners and charity do's and everything, and people like are talking to me, and then
everybody assumes because I'm a wag and an ice skater, then probably a bit of a shrinking violet, or maybe not got much to offer. I don't know.
Right.
You know how it is. Women always get underestimated,
and then
don't they?
Like that. Yeah. Boom.
Frankie's here.
And it's like, whoa.
So you weren't together when you were in the heady days of Arsenal.
Nope.
Well, you were at Arsenal for 13 years.
He'd retired already by the time I met him.
Right. And you retired at 40?
Yeah.
And I read that you were ready, you said, 20 years ago. Yeah. The thing about a goalie, I think, is that there is such an opportunity to be villainised because there's kind of an opportunity to let something in or make a mistake in a way that maybe if you're on the pitch, it's not quite so obvious. You know, I watched the Beckham documentary recently, I'm sure we all have.
Yeah.
And just seeing what David went through for those years it was, and the fact that we were all not participating, but we were all there. I remember him being booed
we're all
for
laughing
everything
at
he did.
It.
He knew what he was going through.
Yeah.
So for you, for the moments when you've been villainised and at the press have attacked you, the country's attacked you, how did you deal with that stuff?
You went fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stay out of the way. You've got to use your head a bit, you know, because, and especially being a goalkeeper, you know that a mistake can happen at any time. You know, the Brazilian game, for instance, or even the Naim one, you know, that was the last minute of extra time.
I know, it's just...
To then go to penalties. In the semi-final before that, I saved three penalties in the penalty shootout.
Right.
To get us to that final.
Right.
And nobody remembers
that. Then that's
that.
Just forgotten.
You made
they
one
remember,
mistake and that's
and,
all.
Yeah, and then in the
talking.
Final, I had a great game. I made lots of saves, but everybody remembers the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the same thing with England when we played Brazil with Ronaldinho. You know, and going back to how we were talking about David Beckham, I was on the pitch after I'd let that goal in. We'd still got half an hour of the game to go. And I'm thinking, wow, come on, lads, get me out of this. Because if it stays at 2-1, am I going to get treated the same way that Bex did for letting this goal in? You know, these sort of thoughts are going through your head.
It's a real fear.
Yeah, you know, so, but as a goalkeeper, I always say to people that you've got to be mentally so strong.
Yeah.
You know that you're going to make a mistake, and then it's how you deal with that mistake.
Yeah.
You know, can you make a mistake in the first 5 minutes and then carry on with your normal game for the rest of the game?
Because you have to then
you've got
make, you have to
yeah.
maintain.
Because if you don't, you might make another mistake, and then another,
it.
And another.
You kind of have to then dig deeper.
Yeah.
In a way, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to go right.
And you've got more to prove,
hold
right?
Hold it together.
Exactly.
It
but
together.
Then, but you're aware of doing that.
Yeah.
When I speak to young goalkeepers and I say to them, like, you're going to make mistakes. It's what you do next that matters. And I say to them, even if the ball just comes to you and you've got a throw, purposely mean to do it. And then build slowly on it.
Right.
This is why I love sports, because they're just so mirror life. It's like metaphor.
Yeah, because that's
for
like
life
a kind
talk.
Of amazing metaphor for life.
Exactly
yeah.
Exactly that. Because obviously we had that awful experience with, well, I mean, it was a beautiful game and everything was going beautifully, and then we go to penalties and sorry, I'm talking about Marcus Rashford, Saka, etc.
Oh, that was
just absolutely abused.
Yeah.
To a level where you have to remember that we're talking about kids. They're like young boys that are doing their best.
I think
the press play a big part in it. Let's
yeah, they
it.
Do. And it
you
almost
know,
gives them an excuse to have a go at the players.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of envy towards football players.
Yes, of course.
They don't see us training on Christmas Day.
Exactly.
Getting ready for Boxing Day.
But I also think it's a British mentality thing as well. Yeah, I do think that people totally like to villainise their heroes. They like to drag them down to as low as they can go and then build them back up again and then drag them down again. It's that kind of pantomime sort of story.
Yes.
But without realising that there's real people involved with real feelings. And I don't care if you make £1 billion a minute, you still have feelings and you still you can be vulnerable to that. So, you know, money cannot insulate you from vilification. So I think it, the press don't really help. And I don't think that, you know, kids watching football, and we'll have watched that the incident that you were talking about with Rashford and the guys, I don't think the kids would have felt that animosity towards them. I think they would have just been very upset and very sad, as we all were, that it didn't work out the way we wanted. But it's the adult world that kind of can change that around.
It was quite... And like I say, I don't watch football. I'm not really aware of it most of the time.
Well, she pretended to like football when she was trying to ensnare my stepfather.
Yeah.
So she watched
He's been threatening to take me to court for years. false advertising.
She watched a few football
I was like, oh, that's so interesting, darling. Yeah. Football Focus, you say. I'll watch that. I'm literally not interested. No, I said at all.
And then she got him and was like, turn this shit off. And he was like, oh. Is there a part of you that's somewhat relieved that you met David at a time where this kind of attention his job?
I think that David's celebrity status is the least attractive thing about him. And I say that from a place where I love everything about my husband. He's such a powerfully happy person. Oh. And I'm a steamroller. Literally, I need a brick wall to stop me sometimes because I'm go, go, go. I can do a million things at once. I can be pretty grumpy with that. I mean, I know, obviously I'm menopausal, so that kicks in as well. I can be quite good. Yeah, lovely.
Lovely. A lovely little mix
one
there.
One giant angry hormone.
It's a great big party, isn't it?
But sometimes I just need David to kind of stop me in my tracks. And he does, because he's such a powerful human being. I think you find what you need. Mm-hmm. So I definitely needed that. But I always say, as much as I love him, his celebrity status is probably the least attractive thing. Mm-hmm. And it's something, you know, it's been 15 years now, and it's something I've kind of become more used to, but I've never really been comfortable. Although I'm an ice skater, I'm an entertainer, I've been in live TV, I've performed all over the world. But there's a different level, because when you're an ice skater in a live show on an ice rink or in a theatre, there's no accessibility to you. You know, at the end of the day, you do your job, you go home and you celebrate with your friends. But with David, it's constant accessibility, and everybody that meets him thinks they own him or that he owes them something. Yes. Yeah.
Because with somebody like you, who's like a proper,
it's David Rockies,
like, an iconic figure within what you've done, people do feel a certain amount of ownership, and they do feel like you have a responsibility to connect and engage with them. I guess that's what the fishing's about.
On my own, and I'm like, see ya. Even like when I go out on my bike, I always go on my own.
So do you find it strange that you're famous?
You have to manage it and you have to work it, because when you get to the levels that I got to, you know, with Arsenal, that's going to bring fame, you know. But when you're a kid, I remember like being an apprentice at Leeds, as we spoke about earlier, practicing my autograph.
Right.
When I was on the phone like to my mum and dad and that, and I was like, and I would do hundreds of them just practicing it and like thinking, oh my god, I can't wait for someone to ask me for my autograph. And I'm like, oh god,
careful what you wish for. David, you're
but
powerful
now,
remember
now it's a little bit better, because it's nearly always selfies
are
so
easier,
it's like quicker, but it just means you have to look pretty decent all the time. You can't go out looking like a right scruff, can you?
That kind of access to you all the time, or feeling that emotionally connected to you all the time, does it feel like a responsibility? That
a little bit, but it's a pleasurable one, isn't it? You know, and if people are coming up to you and they're smiley and happy, then it's great. I remember as a 11-year-old at school, and we won a five-a-side competition, and we had two players from Rotherham United come up into our playground and present us with our little medals.
Oh,
I never forgot that time. And now if I'm out and somebody asks me, I will always do it, because you never know that they might have all my pictures on their wall, and then you turn around and say no, and that just destroys it.
Yeah, you've got to remember that 11-year-old that you were. That
exactly.
Was like, wow.
Yeah.
And also, I think that it's quite important in terms of like young people humanising their heroes, you know, to realise that that's an actual person. Because, you know, before you meet somebody that's famous that you kind of worship or you really look up to, they seem otherworldly, don't they? And then the first time you meet somebody that you've got masses of admiration for and they're really human, you kind of understand that you can do amazing things too, because it's another human being.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Andy, because I do think that once... somebody becomes a human being to you instead of just an icon or an idol or a poster on your wall, then everything else becomes or seems to become achievable. Like, I could be like that person too. Yeah.
What does it take to be an excellent, incredibly successful footballer? I mean, a goalkeeper specifically, actually. What are the things that you need to
do? A lot of dedication.
Yeah.
A lot of sacrifice. You know, especially as a youngster. Because nowadays, the guys are getting taken at the ages of 10.
Wow.
Even 9 and 10-year-old. And then they're just coached all the way through. But then they have to, like, give up a lot of their, like, private life. The hours of training that people don't see.
I think it's really important for people to understand that. I mean, I think if you're a massive football fan, you know, but it really, it's hard fucking work. Like, it's a dedication of life.
Dedication of, like you say, of life, because the amount of time that you're away from your family, you're stuck in a hotel preparing for games. You know, you go to all these different countries and you never see them. All you see is an aeroplane, a hotel, a stadium, and then back on the aeroplane.
So how close were you with your teammates? I mean, were you all friends?
No.
No.
Your teammates. Mm. And then you have a few friends within, you know, like real friends within the group. You know, like my best friend is Lee Dixon. But everybody thinks that you all go out together and everything. You don't, because you're with each other all the time.
Yeah. What's it like for you, Frankie, with ice skating? Do you, how many people are you travelling with, and what does that look like?
So I would sign up more typically for like a 2-4-6 month contract, a year contract.
Right.
And you'd stay with that team for the entire time, but then you'd move on to a different show, they would move on. We were together more, and we were together more intensely because we'd be in a foreign country and we'd be living together. Right. Whereas David would kind of dip in and out of his living situation. He'd be at home, or then he'd be with his teammates. I would be with my teammates all the time. Mm. But equally, as you know, I think it's Australia that will offer you a degree or a PhD based on how well you do in your given sport.
Wow.
Whereas I think in the UK, we don't recognise that. So, you know, I would consider that my knowledge of ice skating would be PhD level comparative to somebody else that has a knowledge in, I don't know, astrophysics or whatever, obviously.
Right.
Yeah,
neuroscience, brain surgery. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
Clearly. It's basically exactly the same thing, right? But what I mean is that the breadth of knowledge that I would have in a sport, the breadth of knowledge that David has in his sport, if it was recognised, I guess, as a certificate, people would legitimise it more, I suppose. Whereas now it's just like, oh, you're just a footballer, you're just an ice skater.
Yes.
And you forget that these kids have been training since they were 10 years old. Yeah. Like, I literally started work at 10.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was doing my education alongside that, but I started my career at 10 years old. That's you started your career when you were, whatever, 8 or whatever. The first time you kicked a ball was the start of your training.
Yeah.
So it's not like we kind of went through the traditional educational route and at 18 we went to uni and then we got a degree. And, of course, we started training much younger. But, of course, then we retire much younger and we retired for a long time.
Yeah, because you were ready to retire when you were 40, weren't you?
I was 40 and
knackered.
Yeah. Absolutely cream crackers.
Apparently I was well past it, but at 39 I made a great save against Sheffield United.
Through the heart. David.
We were chatting about this earlier, weren't we?
We'll be chatting about it when we get home as well. Don't worry about that.
This is for the car, this chat. But David, I was thinking, 40, is that quite old to stay in the game?
Yeah.
And especially staying at the top. I was playing for Man City at the time. You know, I'd left Arsenal after 13 years, and 13 fantastic years.
Yeah, best.
And we were playing away at Wolves, and the ball was down the other end, and I got my arms behind my back as I used to do, and I was like, what am I doing here?
Really?
And that's the only time I'd ever had a feeling like that at all.
Wow.
And I knew, you know, people have said before, you know, there'll be a sign. Something will happen to you and you'll realise that it's time to call it a day.
Do you think it's because of the team that you were, or were you just not gelling with Man City? Or just,
no, I just had enough, yeah.
Done.
Being away from home as well, up in Manchester and all that sort of stuff. And, and then I decided, so the next day I went in and saw Kevin Keegan and I said, look,
I know who he is.
And I said, he was my manager, and I said, look, just to let you know, I'm going to retire in the summer. But then 10 days later, I got a hit on my shoulder with a knee, and the x-rays showed that I got a lot of wear and tear, and if I carried on, there was a chance of it starting to dislocate, and I was like, I've had enough, I'm ready.
Done.
I can't wait for retirement.
This man actually loves retirement, I have to say.
I bet.
I've been retired 20 years.
But retirement is just like married to Frankie,
brilliant.
Fishing, cooking.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
People say to me, oh, do you miss football? I go, no.
But you played really hard, really long, at the very top.
Yeah.
You experienced it in the most brilliant way you can possibly, and the lows, highs and lows. You kind of
went
through all of it.
I had a lot of it, and, you know, came out of it as a very happy guy.
Well, it's been so lovely to meet you. I do just want to ask one more question. How did you ask Frankie out?
Whoa.
You're always asking people that. She's so nosy.
Shit. Or did Frankie ask you out?
No, it was on the when I was the guest judge, wasn't it? You know, I was like, fancy swapping numbers.
Oh, that's poetry. Yeah.
That's poetry. That's poetry in Yorkshire.
Fancy swapping
that's
numbers.
That's Yorkshire love language.
It's a bit more romantic than get your coat, love, you pulled.
Exactly. We're basically John Keats.
I did propose to her in a very nice way, didn't
you
I?
You did.
Did you watch it?
Took it to Mauritius. Oh. And then propose to her as well.
Oh, I mean, that'll do it.
On the beach.
On the beach. That's a yes from Frankie.
not even a breath. Yes. No pausing.
Well, thank you so much.
Lovely to
but
meet
But can
you,
I just
both.
Say, the food.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I've had seconds.
I have too.
I'm going to give you some to take home.
Everything was so good. This was...
Those are pickle shallots, chili pickle shallots.
Yeah, that's easy.
We have a little shallot joke, don't we? It's yeah. So
that's shallot.
That's shallot.
That's what you should have ended the show with. Time. Anyway, you two, that's shallot.
I love that. I've never heard that.
There's your outro.
There's your outro. No, my outro has to be, David, Stephen, honestly, thank you for being such a hero and being so excellent in all the work you've ever done and bringing such glory to our country and just doing the most spectacular job in football. I really am a huge fan of yours. And Frankie, thank you for being such a fantastic human being. I'm so happy to have met you.
Really very excellent.
Yeah, she's an excellent, excellent really human.
Do you want to just tell our listeners something about Hats On For Mind, how they can find out about the work? And
yeah, just go on to the Hats On For Mind campaign website and all the details will be there. But it's a fantastic campaign. And when you meet these people that have got mental health problems and you speak to them, and then they get on board with it, you know, and then they tell you the stories of when they have started to go out and that they have found a lot of peace. It makes it all worthwhile.
It makes it all. And some bloke has designed an amazing hat, right?
Yeah, he's yeah. And I cut.
Mum.
Yeah.
Safe hands.
Safe hands. Now I know who you're talking about.
Safe hands.
What a brilliant pair of human beings.
Well, they both really found a beautiful thing when they found each other, yeah. Didn't they? She's got this beautiful energy, but she really understands the man she married.
Yeah. He seems quite a really tender-hearted individual.
Oh,
do you know
I'm
what
so
I mean?
I'm so pleased that you've met a footballer that you just love. Who would have thought it? And then it's interesting to think about, not just about him being a famous, iconic, cultural figure, but just such an excellent sportsman.
Safe hands.
When I say that now, I need you to know that I'm talking about kindness and love and David Seaman. Whenever I mention safe hands, I mean, let's show kindness. Safe hands, Mum.
Safe hands. But you know what was interesting as well, actually, when he was talking about... when he was describing what you do when you've made a mistake.
Yes.
And the way that was analogous to life in general, that, you know, you don't necessarily then have to take terrible chances so that you're going to, you know, actually make another mistake. The thing to do is sit back for a minute and go back to your training.
Go
do what
to your training
you know,
and then build yourself back up. And I was
slowly.
Like, life lessons from David Seaman. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful energy to have through our doors and at our table. Mm. And this is why this podcast is so special to us, because I don't think we'd ever would have met David Seaman or sat down with David Seaman and his beautiful wife, Frankie. Yeah. And I just feel very, like, lucky.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.